From the bayous in Louisiana to the timber country up north, you'll find them out on the trap line chasing furs to put up on the board. Mixing up another batch of that magical stuff, chilling around the fire after the show. Hey, it's Sarah and Jeff, and maybe a guest on the Trappin' Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to Trapping Radio 2.0. This is your host, Jeff Dunlap. On this show tonight, what we're going to be covering is muskrat trapping. It's one subject that on Trapping Radio hasn't been covered tons. There's a little bit, but I thought it was an interesting subject. I talked to a lot of people all around the country, and they did say they don't have any muskrats in their area anymore. Basically we're going to, talk about that later on. We're also going to be talking about, how to, go and look for muskrat sign that might be in your area that is different than when you were a kid, because a lot of people had went and started their trapping careers trapping muskrats. That's was one of the first things I trapped was a muskrat. We had, even had muskrat wars, in a little bitty ditch, run kind of, we lived on like a corner in the road run up to a T, and then up there was a little bit of a trickle of water that went up, and it went into like a marshy area. And the farmer gave me permission, and my brother, and then some other people permission, other kids that were a little bit older than us. And we went up there and set the traps, and the kids sprung our traps, and then they set traps. And so what happened was, I got mouthy on the school bus, and the bigger kid, I don't know, he weighed like probably about 100 pounds. He picked me up over his head and threw me in the ditch and cracked my arm. Anyways, then it was all whole. It was never, ever forgaven. So it was no holds barred muskrat war after that, but he don't trap anymore. I do. So I would say that I won the war in the end. Because I have permission to trap that spot. And I don't know. Maybe there's a little part of me that might have did a victory dance that, years later, I got permission there and he can't trap it. Not that he traps anyways. So there's, it's like I look back in my life and I think, wow, this muskrat trapping memory, I would say some of my most favorite and memorable muskrat trapping memories, memories trapping was muskrat trapping. And some of the scariest stuff, was always muskrat trapping, in deep water and bad canoes and, wearing waders, sitting on your life preserver. So, what we'll kind of start off with tonight is, kind of some of the different equipment that I use. And, kind of the applications I use them in. I know, let's say, like, in Michigan, we can set a colony trap in a culvert, okay? And I know in, like, say, Wisconsin, if they can't use a colony trap in a culvert. At least the last time I knew that they couldn't. So, I know that some of the stuff that I say you can't use in your state, or techniques or stuff, but maybe somebody else somewhere else can use that technique. So that's why I'm covering it, because the laws are, apparently people don't realize it, but the laws are different in every state. They're not, the same everywhere. It's like in Michigan, you can't use teeth in your traps. In your water traps in Wisconsin, you can use, you know, teeth in your traps. So, you know, for like beaver trapping, water trapping. So, you know, and that's why them guys use a lot of, you know, I think it's number three or number four jumps that are using still over there, you know, because they can use teeth in them. So that's, you know, just when we're covering stuff, just know that I realize that, you might not be able to use every single thing I say the way I say it in your state. And if you're just getting into trapping, you know, look up the laws and, you know, you have to figure that out for yourself. You know, there's a disclaimer. So if you get arrested, you know, you've been, you were warned. Not that I want you to. I don't want you to. So, I use, growing up, we couldn't use colony traps in Michigan. You know, that, I don't remember what year. Years slip away on you as you go through life, and especially as you get older. The amount of years, I don't know. It seems like, let's say 7-8 years ago, we could start using colony traps. It might have been 10 years ago. I can't remember. It seems like 5 years ago, but it wasn't, you know. Let's say 10 years ago, we could start using colony traps. Before that, we couldn't. You know, the good thing I liked about using colony traps and is you can put it in, you know, somewhere, cover the whole run. Every rat comes through there, you know, you generally catch a big percentage of them the first night or second night. You know, with a 110, you set two 110s there. If it's a good run, you got to come back and, you know, you pull them out and then you reset them. Pull them out and reset them. You got to keep coming back. You know, with the colony traps, you know, you might be two nights and you're pulling and moving to, you know, fresh territory. But the thing is that doesn't, you know, you're catching so many out of there that, you know, maybe don't want to catch that many, you know, maybe I want to leave some, and that'll be like a contradictory to what I'm going to say about like marsh trapping and stuff like that. Cause when I'm going out marsh trapping, I ain't saving none. You know, I've went so many times and, you know, I says, well, I'm going to leave these rats even to later on that year. What happens is you come back and they're dead. And not where somebody killed them. The ice froze them out already. Or you know, think you're going to farm them. There is no farming muskrats. They, a lot of times, the more pressure you put on something, you think that you're saving them, but the more pressure you put on something, the more they thrive. You know, so sometimes you're actually having the opposite effect on what you're trying to do. But when I go into like a marsh or something, I'm not trying to save any, because chances are any of them rats I'm leaving, they're not going to be alive that next year, or very few of them anyways, because the life expectancy on a muskrat is not very long. You know, just like on rabbits and stuff like that, you know, they're the bottom of the food chain. But getting back to the colony traps, the reason I like them is because you can set them like if you get like a culvert, let's say like a culvert, like a wash tub size culvert. Okay. You have a 110, you know, I mean, is there possible ways where you could see a run coming out of the weeds or something? Absolutely. You know, but the thing is you're more limited on what you can do there. You know, with a colony trap, you know, it's like here we got to use the biggest we can use is 8x8. So, you know, 8 inches wide by 8 inches tall. And you put that in there and, you know, you might catch a muskrat if you just slide that into the culvert, right? So it's as big as a wash tub. What I do is I'll stack them in there. I'll put like, say, let's say three or four, whatever will fit on the bottom, and then stack them on top, you know, so they're below. In Michigan, we have to be below the water line. You know, you can't have your colony trap half sticking out of the water or even, you know, the wires sticking out. They have to be fully submerged. You know, stack like, you know, I have to go in that culvert, put four traps in, let's say, whatever fits in that particular culvert. And then what I'll do is I'm going to layer, put another layer on top and another layer on top until I'm right up as close to the water line as I can without my traps being out of the water. So even if it's legal for them to be out of the water, I wouldn't waste my time putting them, you know, at the top and half out of the water. You know, the muskrats, you're better off just keeping them below water. Sometimes I'll take in stuff and pile it on top, like seaweed, weeds, you know, just to, you know, get them to dive if they were going to be on top. You know, so that, you know, type of setup is you, anything that's swimming through there, you're going to catch, you know. And so, I mean, that, you know, like I say, in Wisconsin, you know, you can't use them type of setups, which I'm not exactly sure why, because you could use it out of the culvert, but you couldn't use it in the culvert. So I don't understand why exactly, but it is what it is. So, but that is like, you can really pile up some rats. And the weird thing with that is when you put them in there, you'll see, like, you'll catch one on the bottom right, two on the bottom, on the top left, you know, and one to three or four in the middle one, one middle one. So it's really interesting, you know, to see, you know, how them rats are swimming through them culverts. It's not where they're, you know, everyone hits on one corner generally. The other way that I'll do is, like, if you get a bigger open area with, like, a cement walls with the colony traps, what I do is I'll take a piece of, it's like, let's say, like, page wire. It would be like, let's say, like, chicken wire, you know, like a little bit bigger than chicken wire where the rats can't swim through it. But, you know, pretty, you know, not real flexible, you know, really stiff. And I'll do is I'll cut, go on the side I'm going to put towards the cement wall. Okay. And I'm going to cut that corner out on that bottom, just big enough for like a rat to be able to swim through there. And, you know, it's like a wing. And you're going to put that with a stake on it all the way out to the edge or right against the wall. So they can't, and then you're going to have it up above the water. And then, so they got that one corner only down there on the edge. And then you're going to take it out, you know, let's say 3 foot, something like that. It doesn't have, you're not running it all the way across the creek or the river. So then you're going to go out like 3, 3.5, 4 feet, put another stake down. So you got this barricade of wire there, right? So I'm going to try and describe this it in everybody's mind's eye. So you're on this cement wall. You've got this running across, this wire running across, right, up against that cement wall. On the bottom of that, against the wall, there's a cutout square hole. You know, like maybe 6 inches long, 6 inches tall, something like that. And so what you're going to do is you're going to go back from that hole about 5 inches. And you're going to pull that trap. You put a colony trap on one side, a colony trap on the other side. And you're going to pull them back, put them right against the wall, but back like 5 inches. So when that rat comes and he dives and he goes through that hole, what he's going to do is he's missing the one so he can get through the hole, but he's going to hit, he's going to be on the bottom and go right into that other colony trap. It works really good. You know, you got to be set it up exactly like that, but, you know, that the sets work really good, you know, and you're forcing them rats right where you want them to be. So all you're doing is setting them traps back 5 inches from where that hole is. And when they dive through there, they're hitting that bottom and they're just going to keep going straight right into that trap. And, yeah, and if you got two sides you can do it on, I do it on both sides, you know, like, you know, a big cement wall area. So, and, you know, there's lots of other stuff you can do, with the colony traps. They are really effective, you know. I mean, you can mess around. I went and took parsnips and carrots and put in them before, you know, and put them in, like, the dead water. I've had limited success doing that, you know, wiring the bait down in there. But if you get it where the rat's really working, it definitely will work. I've had better luck under the ice doing it. you know, just put that colony trap, you know, right below the ice, which it's still submerged, and then go and put, you know, wire the bait in there, and then them rats will work it and, you know, get in there and drown or, you know, whatever. So, you know, I've had, like I say, I have had luck baiting them just better through the ice than in open water. Generally in open water, I can find a place to kill them rats, you know. But generally what I'm looking for, you know, and I'll set up spots like that. I mean, they take a little bit more time, a little bit more equipment to set up. But, you know, if you stop and pick up, you know, 2 to 5 rats at a spot, it's definitely worth taking the time. Cause I mean, it's initially setting it up and then it's just pulling the traps up and checking them, you know, and I caught quite a few mink in that setup too. So, you know, with that, you know, putting the wing out and the thing is, if in the right spots, you know, if you cut that bigger and then, you know, put like a 280 right in that, you'll catch the rats, you'll catch beaver, you'll catch otter, but you know, you got to cut it generally bigger than a 6x6. But you know, you'll catch everything in that same setup, but you know, we're talking about using colony traps, but, you know, if you can't use a 280, which I usually, you can use a 280, you know, submerge just about everywhere. But you can use 220s and, you know, you're going to pop every rat. So, you know, if you, you know, are in Wisconsin, you're standing underneath the bridge and you can't use them under the bridge because that's considered a culvert. You know, you can do that same setup. You'll just have to bang them away one at a time. But hey, a catch is a catch. So, generally with the colony traps, what I'm looking for is, you know, where that water's flowing and, you know, I mean, like I'll use a 5-inch, which I don't use a lot of 5-inches, but I do have some because, you know, you get a real narrow spot and where you're looking for is, you know, in my mind's eye, I'm picturing the water's flowing downstream. There's a little bit of rock in the bottom, there's weeds on the side, and there's like a trail where that water is flowing through like 5 or 6 inches wide, you know, and that's, you know, kind of in my mind's eye, what I'm looking for in a muskrat spot, you know, and, you know, are you going to have them spots everywhere in the country? Nope. You know, you know, just like you're not going to have muskrats everywhere in the country, you know, but you know, there's enough spots out there like that, you know, people will understand what I'm talking about. And that's like my perfect spot to put colony traps. But the other type of sets I use a lot, is I'll use, the 5-inch RBGs. I've used, the 110s. I like the, I can't remember the name. They're not the Bridger 110s. They're the next size up from the Bridger 110. They're like, I don't know. Let's say the 110s are 4-inch. They'd be like the 4.5s. They might be the 5-inch. Anyways, the next size up from the 110 with the Bridger. And I really like those. And, you know, I use like the 5-inch RBG. I really like the 6-inch. Single spring RBG with the hag brackets on it. You know, they work really good. You know, it's easy to carry the fiberglass poles. You got the, you know, the hag clip on there. All you gotta do is just run the fiberglass rod through the clip on the end of the spring, bend them down, put them in the run. You know, just keep going. The thing is, it's light and easy to use. Doing that, if you go and, you know, yeah, it's like you do a video, and people say, "I would have set a colony trap there." How many colony traps can you carry? You know, I realize, you know, you get somebody like Gary Schumann, you know, he's got 100, 200 colony trap. Generally, everybody else doesn't have that many. I don't have that many. You know, and the other thing is, when I'm walking down like a shoreline, I don't want to carry, you know, 40 colony traps. Because number one, I can't carry 40 colony traps, but you know what? I can carry 30, probably 30 or 40 of them RBG, you know, 5-inch, and I can carry, you know, 30 or 40 of them rods and just plunk, 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 plunk right down through there. And yeah, you got to make a couple runs down through there. But you know what? A lot of times when you setting them runs with them, when you're coming back, you're hitting almost, you know, 90 to 100% catch rate if you're setting the good runways. So, you know what? I'm good with that. If I don't catch two at a time, if I catch 100% or 90 or 80% catch rate, I can live with that. You know, I don't have to catch two. You know, I'll go to the culverts and other spots. But, you know, walking along the lake shore and just setting the, you know, the bank dens, you know, it definitely works out a lot better using like the 110s and stuff like that for most people, you know. One thing that I've always done, like with them, you know, like using the conibears and even the, you know, going back to covering the colony traps, is you go into spots and guys will have run like the low. You know, now, you know, when rat prices are low, it isn't as bad. But when, like, rat prices were up to, like, $15 in 2013 is what I'm talking about. So now you really do good on them. But them guys would run up on, you know, the shallow runs. And or they would just trap, like, the houses and the feeders and stuff like that. But what they didn't know was, is if you get out there and, like, you know, in a like, a canoe, or a boat, and you get up with polarized sunglasses on, and you look down deeper, there will be runs where they're not necessarily, you know, long runs coming out, but there'll be holes, and you'll see the cloud. And that's the thing is if you're just starting out muskrat trapping and you see the holes, if you see where it's cloudy there in front of the holes and, like, back into the hole, the rat's using that hole. If you come to, like, where there's a rat run, and there is debris in it, generally that rat is moved or dead, and there ain't no sense setting it. Not to say that you couldn't catch something, but if you set all of them, that those are low percentage catch rates on a high percentage catch rate animal. So I don't set, if they got debris in them and they look old, I don't set them, you know. So but if you get up in the canoe or the boat with a pair of polarized sunglasses on, you know, and wait for, you got to have a sunny day. It's got to be calm. What I do is I'll have a long hook, and I'll take them that colony trap, and just if it's not a straight up and down come out of the bank, but, you know, kind of a run coming out, or I can see this, like, sand or anything coming out of it, what I'll do is I'll just set that colony trap right down in front of it. And then I'll take one of the fiberglass rat rods with a, you know, a flag on the end. I use, like, that colored duct tape, and I'll stick it right down there by that colony trap. Because when you come back, if it's a little bit choppy or something, and you're checking them, number one, you're gonna have a hard time getting them right back in the same spot. But it's hard to find them if it's a little bit choppy. With that fiberglass rod with that, you know, fluorescent pink or orange on the end, even if you put it underwater, you can see them, you know, with them polarized sunglasses on, and everybody up on the bank isn't going to be able to see them. So, because you don't want everybody to know, hey, there's rats out there too. Now, you know, next year I'm going to be right out there and, you know, cut his throat. You know, so, you know, so definitely check them spots out. They're a little bit deeper. You know, I mean, I've seen them where them rats dug out, you know, in 6 foot of water and went up into the bank, you know. So, you know, definitely, like I said, definitely check them spots out, and you'll be happy you did. The other thing that I use, you know, like them 5-inch RBGs and that size of trap. I mean, if you had 160s, especially the single springs, they would work, you know, probably they would work even better, but they will work with a 5-inch. A 110's a little damn small for what I'm going to tell you. But what I'll do is I'll turn that trap, you know, upside down. I'll turn that, I'll take that like a piece of carrot and take that carrot and go, and you can use a parsnip, apple, you know, I wouldn't use an apple because the apple, they can pull apart pretty easy. You know, but you want to make sure that you got to, that's why I like using them RBGs, because they move them triggers and they're dead. You can't have it where it's got a sloppy trigger on it, because they'll have that carrot half pulled out of the trap and they'll be gone, or you'll hit them and wound them. So you got to have something that moves, or a big jaw spread like a 160. I'll turn that trap upside down. I'll slide that carrot all the way down, you know, so they have to get right in there to get that. And then I'll put it on that fiberglass steak. And you know, I got the hag brackets, you know, system on there, the hag clips on the end of it. And I'll take that and just put that down. Sometimes you got to adjust it. And a lot of times I like to put them in front of culverts, you know, where they're swimming through, or, you know, where I see a toilet or something like that. And just have that carrot where it's half out of the water and that trap's half out of the water, and just have it, you know, sitting on top. And, you know, them rats will come right over there and grab that and pull it. And it's like a 330 lure set for beaver, you know, except for it's in the water. Like out to North Dakota last year, I used that set and caught rats out there. I've caught lots of rats like that. And the thing is they'll come up and get that, you know, even in the fall, as it gets colder, it works better. But, you know, the thing is I put floats out here in the fall, and we don't have a spring rat season, so I don't use them in the spring. But the thing is they ain't going up on them floats here, not in the fall. And then probably they would go on them good in the spring, because, you know, they're crawling all over everything in the spring and looking for breeding and marking their territories and blah, blah, blah. But, they will go to that bait, you know, on, you know, in the fall with them, setting them traps up like that. You know, the other thing is I'll go and you set up, like, if I'll stop at, like, let's say I stop at a bridge. Okay. I have permission. I get out at state land. I get out, you know, any scenario you want to look at. I get out, walk down there. And I'm looking for, like, rat shit on a rock, on a log, anything like that, where I know that there's a rat working that area. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that set I described with the carrot, or I'm going to go and put, you know, one of the hag brackets sets with a 1.5, and, you know, with a, and then take his bait clip, put a carrot on there. I like using apples, but the apples, you know, you could make them where put vinegar on them, you know, wipe vinegar on them so they don't turn yellow as fast. Because once they turn yellow, they ain't worth a shit. So it's about, I like to use carrots, but there's some spots where I've went and put a carrot, put three traps, put a carrot, a parsnip, and an apple, and I caught one on the carrot, for, let's say, and then I caught, didn't catch none of the other two, put another carrot on, caught another one, you know, and then do that at a different place, and the parsnip or the apple you caught them on. So, you know, and didn't catch them on the other one. So, you know, it's best to change up bait, you know, I mean, because what they're attracted to right now, or not attracted to right now, might be, you know, different next time they swim by. Like right now, I really don't want to eat a candy bar. 45 minutes from now, I might, that candy bar, you might be able to catch me, you know. So, and it's like using, you know, muskrat lure. I use the muskrat lure in spots like that. I'll put it on, like on top of the carrot, on the set, on the bait holder thing, something like that. Where I don't use rat lure is if I'm going to set, like here in Michigan, we can use set right on the houses. We can't molest a muskrat house, which I'm not sure, like I said, exactly what molesting a muskrat house is, but it sounds really bad, you know, so don't molest a muskrat house. But I don't use it where I see these rats when they're in the early fall. They're building these houses, and you can see where they're pulling the weeds up on top of them. And there's no reason to put rat lure there because, you know, if you got a run going up on the house and you put that trap down there underwater, they're coming there anyways. You're just wasting the rat lure. You're wasting your money. You don't have to put it there. I know you would think I'd say, you know what? I would still put a glob there. No, that's not what I'm going to tell you. You know, I want you to, you know, go out and be successful and not cost you, you know, use something stupidly, you know. So, in them spots, I'm not using rat lure. I'm going to use it on, like, them baited sets. I'm going to go use the lure on, like, a lot. I'll go and just take mud and smear it on the bank because mud is an attractant all by itself. And then you take a little bit of rat lure and put up there on that mud, and that rat smells, you know, some food up there and sees where something's been working, probably he thinks another rat, and they're going to go up there and check it out. And, you know, so, you know, the thing is, you know, if you just think about, you know, where you're putting them traps and why you're putting them there, like smearing that mud and then putting it, you know, the lure on there. You know, you're going to catch rats. And that's what I do, you know, when I'm putting, like, the sets out, like, in the fall, like I was talking about with Haggerty system, where I'm not going to go, I'm thinking about where I'm going to put these. You know, a rat can be swimming across there, and an owl will get them, a hawk, you know, a mink, you know. So he's going to stay, I mean, you see him swimming out in the open, but generally, when they're feeding, they're up there in, you know, in cover. And generally, like on the, if you got a point coming out, I'll set them on the, like a point of cattails coming out or three corner grass. I'll set on that point. Or if, you know, there isn't a point, I'll try and find a little, like a, you know, cut out into the cattails and set back into there. And I do real good there, you know, in the fall. Like I said, the colony, like a float, it, you know, I see guys using them, and if, hey, hats off to you if that's the way you like to trap. But me, I have, you know, never had any luck in the fall with a float. I've tried styrofoam floats, I've tried wood floats, I've tried every kind of float, and in the fall here, I have had zero. I can't say zero success, but damn near zero success. You know, I mean, you know, you go out and you catch 100 rats and you see the guys with the floats in the fall and they got three. So, you know, which one do you want to be? Yeah, when I'm skinning them, I want to be the three too, you know, but, you know, but, you know, the thing is all things that work, something that won't work right now may work in a different situation at a different time. It's like out to North Dakota and on their spring season. We tear them up on the floats out there. You know, rewind time and coming in November in Michigan, you ain't catching none. You know, but you fast forward 6 months or 5 months or whatever it is when on breakup and it's a different time. You know, I mean, them rats are different. They got a different mindset. And, you know, and the thing is everybody says it's, you know, well, it's easy to catch a muskrat. It's easy to go out and catch a muskrat, absolutely. But the thing is when you go out into a marsh and you start catching rats that the other guys ain't catching, put in a little bit more effort to go a little bit further up in, you know, and find them toilets and make multiple catches off them, you know, catch 5-6 rats off a toilet. You know, I mean, that is when, you know, that definitely changes your game. And, you know, it's like down to Iowa. I talk to different guys and they say, well, we don't have any rats like we used to. And I don't know that about that. I wasn't down to Iowa 30 or 40 years ago and see, you know, all these muskrats. They ain't got no, when I'm down there, I don't see hardly no water. So I don't know where these muskrats were, but, But my thing is when I'm coon trapping and beaver trapping, I'm looking, you know, for sign all the time, and I see muskrat shit on rocks and all over the place. And, you know, so we started going and putting them baited sets out, and we weren't setting like hundreds of them. I mean, we're coon trapping. I'm just throwing one here, one there. Anyways, you know, we started picking up, you know, the rats. And then, you know, there's no doubt in my mind I could go down to Iowa and just the creeks and the rivers and stuff like that and catch probably 200-300 rats down there. You know, and that's where some of them guys think that they don't have any rats. I know there's some of you guys out there that know that, you know, that down there in Iowa or different places where, yeah, absolutely, you know, the rats are there. You know, but there's some guys that think, nope, there's no rats, you know, but you don't, they aren't targeting them. You know, you're not looking for the sign, you know, and just stop at bridge after bridge after bridge after bridge after bridge and just pound in sets and, you know, look for the sign, you know, and they're there in a lot of areas, you know, maybe there's not, you know, 15 houses on a pond like there used to be. You know, maybe you got to switch it up and do things a little bit differently. You know, maybe you got to go and, you know, go to them creeks and stop at the bridges and put in them type of baited sets and stuff like that, you know, rather than, you know, just, you know, stop at one spot and catch, you know, 30 rats. You know, it's a lot more, you know, tougher to do, you know, but it's a lot of fun. You know, I mean, I love it when we're setting some rat traps down there. I found one pond down there where there's not a rat house on there. And I walked down there and I seen a couple of rats swimming out there different times. And I thought, oh, you know, I'd like to go catch a few rats down here in this place. And so I go down there and I set, you know, I don't remember. It was like, I think I took 12 traps and one of them couldn't get to set. It kept springing on me. So I'm using the system with the fiberglass rod, you know, the hag bracket six or hag clips on them. And I go along there and set them. I come back and I had a rat in every single trap. You know, I think it was 11 rats in, you know, out of 11 traps. So, and the ice has just formed on it, and I thought, well, it's all done. So I was pulling them, and I come back to Michigan, and I remember was chasing after something up here, and so it thawed out, and the ice went off, and I went back and set some fresher holes down further. I didn't go back to the same ones, and well, somebody had seen me when they went by. I had seen somebody slowing down looking, and when I came back, there was boot tracks and dog tracks there along the thing. So somebody seen that I was trapping rats down there, or they seen the video and knew the spot, which that happens. And I came back, and all them rats had been trapped, and I finally ended up, I think I got like 7 traps in and caught 5 rats, you know. So somebody had seen the video or whatever and came down there. Because, I mean, it was late, and, you know, most of them guys down there ain't thinking about rat trapping. So, so somebody got them rats. I'm glad that somebody got the experience. Hopefully they had a kid with them where the kid got to experience their first catches in the, you know, trapping. So but they're an ugly rat down there. Compared to the Michigan rats or like a New York rat, they're not a beautiful rat. Like we're talking about with the houses earlier, you know, for the muskrat houses, and this is not going to pertain to some of you. It's like in some states, you know, you can tear into the houses. I've never trapped in any place and tore into the houses and set the traps inside where it was legal. In Michigan, we can't do that. We can't even set, you know, the push-ups. I guess I don't understand. The DNR apparently don't know the difference between a push up and a house, because they were writing some trappers tickets for setting push ups. But, anyways, it's going to be different. You know, some states you can't set on the house. Michigan, you can. So I'm just telling you, if you can in your state, we used to have to be 6 feet away, 50 feet, I think it was 50 feet away from a beaver house, 6 feet away from a beaver dam. All that's gone now. But on the houses, if you can set in your area, what I'll do is I'll take that hag system. And I'm not beating a dead horse with saying this hag system. This is just what I use. I mean, you can use whatever you want. You could use a stick. You can use whatever. This is just the system I got set up. Jeff's a good friend of mine. It's a great product. If it was a shit, if he was my friend and it was a shit product, I wouldn't even be talking about it. I wouldn't go and badmouth it, but I just wouldn't talk about it. It's just the system that I use. Like a lot of other people, you know, you see something that works good for you and that's what you use. But I'll go and take that where they're going up on that house. I'll take and set one or two, whatever I can get there. You know, them RBG 5-inch, and right in where they're pulling that up on the house. And I'll kind of block it down on one side with maybe a piece of cut off cattail, something like that. And what I'll do is just stake it right down, right through into the bottom. And when I come back, I got nice dry rats right up on that house. And you would think that with, you know, eagles and, you know, stuff like that, you know, they'd be eating all the time. I haven't had any problem. I'm not saying that you wouldn't have some eating sometime. I've had them eaten by eagles where, you know, they were down in the water and somehow them eagles got them, you know, and ate them. So I'm not sure. I was over the dead stream in Holden Lake, I don't know, years ago. And this eagle, rats were going for, I don't know, 10, 12 bucks. And they'd eaten quite a few that day. And I looked up and I said, "You eat one more of my rats and I'm going to send you this to the Lord." So, but he ate more and I didn't send him to the Lord. Would have liked to have. But, hey, trapping fur thieves, a trapping fur thief. I don't care if it's an eagle or a piece of shit human being. They deserve the same. Ass whipping. But, yeah, if you set them, you know, if it's legal in your area and you set them conibears on the side of the houses and, you know, it's nice to come there and you got a nice, dry, fluffy rat and, you know, they'll go right through them. You know, sometimes I'll set a 110 or a, you know, 5-inch RBG, you know, up higher and then set my normal set down there at the bottom. And a lot of times, like on them rat houses, what I'll do is I'll set like the run going up the way I just described it. But I'll also look around the backside, you know, because a lot of times there'll be like a feeder shelf back there. And, you know, I'll set that. And everything I'm setting foot trap wise is for rats is under the water. You know, because most of you are going to be trapping in the fall. And then I've had trouble where them rats do not get on them traps and spring them if they're not underwater. North Dakota, in the spring, setting them on top of floats, dry, no problem. Absolutely works. Michigan and a lot of other states, out of the water, sitting on the side of a house, they don't like going in them, you know. So, but like I said, I'll check around the backside of that house for, you know, like a feeder back there. And then also, if you can molest a muskrat house, the best bet is like just take your hand, because they're building on them houses, right? So they're building them up, they're building them out. If you grab a hand, to take your hand, grab it at the water level, grab some of that vegetation out of that house. I'm not talking about ripping the whole house apart. I'm talking about grabbing a handful, pulling it out, and then making a bed in front of that, and then just set your trap there. You can throw some lure in there, but you really don't have to. And if there's rats there, they're going to come and plug that hole that night, and you're going to have that rat. You know, you just pull the plug out, throw it away, set that trap underwater right in front of it, and you're going to have that rat. One thing I've had trouble with for as far as setting on rat houses is Like if they're made out of reeds, it's hard to see where they're going up. It all looks the same. And I put video cameras, you know, I mean, my thing is I always want to learn more about the animals because, I mean, I like being around the animals. That's why I do this. It's not to kill something. I love the fur. I love the trapping. I love the chase. I love to catch as many as I can. But I love to be around the animals and I like to know what makes them tick. And the thing is I put cameras even on muskrat houses to see, like, how are they going around these? Like on the other ones, the normal rat houses, like in your mind's eye, you're picturing, you know, they go up, but on these ones, they all look the same. How are they traveling? And they just get up on the edge and then just run around the edge. It's crazy to watch them. But so if you get some that are made out of reeds and they'll be sticking out straight into the water along the edge, but then there'll be like a lip all the way around and then the rat house will start going up. And right on that lip where it goes all the way around, that's where they're walking. That's their walk area, at least here. And I started setting them started doing a lot better on them, you know, setting that lip. But again, them reeds are a pain in the neck because when you go to separate and put your trap, you know, sometimes you got to finagle it and pull some reeds over under and, you know, because your trap will fall right through them, you know. So setting on the reed houses, if that's all you have in your area, hats off to you because you earn them damn muskrats. When somebody says it's easy to trap muskrats, they ain't trapping houses made out of reeds. Them things are a pain in the ass. But like I was saying earlier, it's about, you know, like I go into these spots where the houses are, you know, how many should you take out of a spot? What should you leave? You know, if I go in and trapping beaver, if it's a complaint job, or it's just like I'm trapping the spring, you know, runoff, I'm going to catch all I can. But generally, I leave beaver. I mean, if somebody comes behind me and traps them, I'm only answerable for what I do. And, you know, beaver, it takes a long time sometimes for them beaver to float back into a place, you know. So that being said, as a thing that I don't mind leaving stuff, the muskrats are a different thing. I used to leave them. And I'd come back, and there isn't no rats. The water level dropped, and they left or they died. I waited a couple times, you know, where nobody was trapping in a spot, and it was getting late, and I knew nobody was going to come and trap them. So I'm like, I catch a few, and I'm like, yeah, these don't literally, you know, because, I mean, you get like a mid-November rat, doesn't look as good as a December or even January rat, you know. I mean, if you compare the rat in November compared to the one in the middle of December, they're, you know, I mean, the hair's a lot longer. I mean, it's just a different animal. And so if you can leave them and get more money, it's stupid not to. But I come there, I'm out on Lake Huron, and the wind blew the ice sheet in, and it sheared off every piece of plant life, every muskrat house. I mean, there's 50 muskrat houses down through there. And I come out there and I'm like, where in the hell did the muskrat houses go? And I look up on the bank and they're buried underneath the ice sheets. That ice in Lake Huron, that wind blew that ice in and it sheared everything off. And that's been, I don't know, quite a few years ago. And the weeds still have never come back the way that they were. It was crazy. And that's like an odd situation. But the thing is, you know, it's like me and Nick and Sarah and Jeff Haggerty, we're all out trapping in this bay on Lake Huron, and there's rats out there, and we trap the ones along the road so somebody would see us trapping them alongside the roads, and then we were left the ones further back in, and we were going to come back in the wintertime, and then, you know, get the rats out. So we come back, me and Sarah and Jeff come back, and we got his ice auger, and we're drilling next to these rat houses where there was rats in. And The thing is we drill down and it's all mud. It's frozen all the way to the bottom. The water washed out. The wind pushed the water out of the bay and it froze it right to the bottom. And every one of them rats, every one of them died. And I'm sure some of you out there may have seen the footage where we're out, you know, hitting mud. And, you know, I mean, there was tons of rat houses out there and they're just gone. So we'd have been better off getting them in November than saving them. There is no saving muskrats. They, you know, there's too many variables. And, you know, and like I said, sometimes when you put pressure on an animal, they do better than if you, you know, are trying to, you know, farm them. You know, it's like back in the 80s when everybody was out chasing, you know, the high dollar fur all the time and just pounding. I mean, there was tons of raccoons, there was tons of red fox, there was tons of coyotes, there was tons of everything. Because, you know, you were taking them out and then making room and, you know, and new fresh food for them. And they just thrived during that period. And, you know, now, you know, they get diseases and the whole population dies off, you know, so, you know. My theory is I'm not personally saving any muskrats. They'll just be there next year or they won't. So, you know, and I mean, there's unique situations and I'm not, you know, there could be some unique situation in your thing that you have to evaluate it. Where it's your own personal pond and, you know, you got a dam on there and, you know, you're gunning down anything that flies or crawls or walks that would eat a muskrat. And, you know, that's a different situation. You know, but you never know when an otter is going to slip in there because an otter is a muskrat killing machine. So, I had, you know, lots of awesome memories out there trapping muskrats. You know, it's like I was there the first time Clint Locklear ever set a muskrat trap on a muskrat house. Cause there are muskrats down there where he was at in Tennessee. They don't build houses, you know, just like most of the time in, you know, the South, you very seldom like trap in Louisiana. I'd see some little stick structures, like a half-ass attempt of some half-wit beaver, you know, was building a shelter. But what I consider a beaver house being from the North, I've only seen two of them down there. You know, where it was the mud up on them. And, it, you know, it was like a Michigan or Minnesota, Wisconsin beaver, Maine beaver, you know, was on vacation down there and built a motel, you know. So, but, you know, first time Clint was here and he sat on the houses, he footed both of them, you know. So, you know, so and I ended up catching. And it's the only time I ever caught him. I caught one of the two that got away, you know. So, you know, I mean, that's a memorable to me, you know, that, you know, my good buddy Clint, you know, basically struck out. And, you know, and I'll tell you another funny story. We were out muskrat trapping. This is me and Clint's relationship. And my thing is I wouldn't tell this story, but, you know, we bought Predator Control Group from them. So I can tell the story now. Clint comes up, right? And we're shooting F&T show and we're putting in part, this temporary come through and it killed all the coon, but the big males and the dry sows. I mean, there was no coon tracks. There was no nothing. So I'm taking him to all these spots and we're just setting, you know, like water lines. We go out in the boat and, you know, spots I catch coon regularly every year and just hoping enough, you know, get enough traps out. You know, and get some good footage, you know, for F&T show, and we're going and ain't catching nothing. You know, we're checking. And, Clint says, is this generally how it is up? He says, is this generally how it is up here? You know, trapping coon. And I'm like, I don't know. I've never used your stuff before, Clint. He goes, he wouldn't even start that shit. So it was funny as hell. And But it was the distemper, not Clint stuff slash my stuff now. But oh, it's fun to. That's the great thing about trapping is busting people's balls. They're your good buddies, and you know, and that's what's fun about going with Haggerty and Nick and Chris, and you know, we don't bust on Albert too bad, but we do Carl and Liz unmercifully. So. But anyways, if you get any questions about trapping muskrats, send me a message. If I can help you, I will. It's a lot of fun. It's great taking kids out trapping muskrats. If you got them in your area, it's like weasel trapping. Kids and weasels go hand in hand. Kids and muskrats go hand in hand. Even if you're a 250-pound kid, the thing is just, get the kids out there and set them traps. It doesn't have to be a million of them, catch a million of them. It's like, you don't want to take a kid out and start fishing for muskie, the fish of 10,000 casts. You're better off taking them out bluegill fishing. They'll have a lot more fun. Catch. And then, it's the same way. You get them out there and, like a young pup, you want to put a little bit of fur in their mouth, same way with a kid. You want to put a little bit of fur in their mouth. They can check them. The traps are their size. The animals are their size. They can carry them, put them in their little pack baskets. Make it a big deal, because it is a big deal, take lots of pictures. They'll be glad, even if it meant nothing to you, which I know it would mean something to you. It'll mean something to them when you're dead and gone. Because that's how I feel about the pictures and the video of my dad. I'm so grateful to my mom that she took the time, because my dad never would have. So it was all my mom. I guess we'll probably, I don't know what's going on next week on the show, but maybe we might cover weasels. I don't know for sure, but that's kind of the way I'm leaning. Tell some, weasel techniques and some stuff like that. I'm supposed to be doing an interview with a guy, and I'm trying to get that set up, and so that might be next week. But the next couple weeks, we'll do a show on weasel trapping and talk about that. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for using Dunlap Lures. You trappers have always been good to me. And when I say thank you, I'm not just saying that. I really feel in my heart that, you guys have really, really been good to me. And I can't thank you enough. I ain't got no other people. I'm stuck with you all, and you're all stuck with me. So see you next week.